Welcome to Red Ice Creations. Thank you for tuning in to our internet talk radio program. My name is Henrik Palmgren. I'm the editor and webmaster of redicecreations.com. I hope you stop by our website, follow along the news, the forum, and of course this radio show. We do have a new program for you every Thursday and Sunday. And it is the last Sunday of the month, the last Sunday of April already. And that means that we have our monthly regular, Alan Watt, with us. We spend some time once a month here getting an update from cuttingthroughthematrix.com. That's Alan's website. And we talk about everything from history, conspiracy, geopolitics, current events, and much, much more that Alan research and do talk about at his website, cuttingthroughthematrix.com. So let's say hello and welcome back to Alan. Nice to have you back with us again.
It's nice to be back on.
Excellent. Thank you for coming on. You know, a lot of things have, of course, been going on since we spoke last month. Things have been quite busy. We have, of course, had the largest shooting, as it were, in the U.S. history, just in the middle of April. There even was a shooting at NASA, at a NASA building a few days after this event, and a few kind of copycat type things have been popping up afterwards. And as I suspect, you know, that you've received quite a few emails about this. I mean, a lot of people are, you know, wondering what's going on, and it's, you know, right just about the time as when Columbine was on the anniversary coming up and so forth. And there's a lot of info already, of course, surrounding this entire event, as it were. I don't know if you have, you know, gotten into it that much at all, but it always, you know, interesting to get, you know, your take on these big events that obviously, you know, can be played out in numerous of ways to, you know, reform the school system and change society in a number of ways, even going into gun control, of course. But Alan, what's your take on it? What have you heard about it?
It's much the same, really. We get a vague story, really, about the guy's background, which means there's a lot to do with this particular shooter's background, that which they know, but they've been told not to disclose it so far. There's no doubt whatsoever that he had a history of psychiatric problems.
Yeah.
We'll have to find out how long they've known this, what type of problem. We do know that he, like other shooters, had pictures on his own site, I think, and other people's site, of him pointing guns at the cameras.
Yeah.
Which are identical to a not so long ago shooting, I think, in Montreal, when a person went into a college there. The one in Montreal had been into the Gothic cult, they call it, which was the movement given to the young to copy, as all movements are, from the television,
mm-hmm.
with Buffy the vampire slayer and all the stuff and the occult,
mm-hmm.
and the black clothes, the morbidity to do with death topics and all their conversations. And the one in Montreal dressed like that, and as he pointed guns at cameras and all the rest of it, this guy did the same down in the States.
Sure. I mean, he sent... I don't know if this were the exact story, but there was a first shooting at another building where he shot two people at first, and then there was like a pause for several hours. And from what I've heard, he actually sent a package with these images that you talk about to, I think it was NBC that received these,
yeah.
This package, you know, with video material, a lot of photographs and so forth, and. That's, you know, an interesting idea to, you know, shoot people, two people actually, and send off a package to a television station, and then going into another building, continuing.
Walked half a mile he walked.
Yeah, yeah.
For the first shooting, and dropped into the post office, and then continued on his way. Which meant that, I mean, this doesn't happen. This does not happen today. SWAT teams are there immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That is the big question, of course. You know, why they didn't close the, you know, the school, or the entire, you know, evacuated the school after the first shooting, because it was several hours, you know, afterwards. So, in a way, it feels like the SWAT team was there and locked down the school, so this guy basically could go in, you know, in the school area and basically go berserk in there. I don't know.
I've never seen a SWAT team in a domestic dispute in a home. they simply come straight through the windows and doors. And so they're quick. They don't ask no questions. They get in and they do their job.
Sure.
So yeah, they knew, and someone gave them the command not to enter or get involved until this was pretty well over. It's obvious. And what's interesting too, is the symbology of the numbers.
Indeed.
You have two are initially killed.
Mm.
Now in Freemasonry, they always begin with the first and second degrees. And then the third one is the master, and then from the third, which is the master, it's a continuous state right up to the 32nd. Now, he killed 32 people.
And yeah, yeah.
From the second shooting upwards, it was 32.
Mm.
And then you have himself, which was the 33rd, which is the supposedly illumined man who gets an honorary degree for serving the work. You get all these odd numerical coincidences, which always crop up in these shootings.
Indeed. Did you hear about the name that he had on his arm written in red? I think it was Ismail Ax. Have you been able to pick up something on that?
I haven't gone into it. I've seen it, yeah, but that's right. And I'm sure it's an anagram if you break it down.
Yeah, a lot of people have been looking at it, I guess, and then again, there's, you know, so many variations. We could pick up, you know, characters from books, whatever. There's endless of material out there on it, but you know, one thing that comes to mind, of course, is that many of these shootings seem to happen also in the April month. I mean, the Columbine was just, what was it, days afterwards, and it would have been the anniversary, and I immediately got this feeling that this was kind of a rite of spring type scenario, the victim, the incoming spring, basically. Your take on that?
Well, they also have, I think, they had the Branch Davidian farm burned down by the BETF in April as well. They love April.
Oh, really?
Generally the 9th of April, as it usually is,
for
that high date. And that's a sacrifice in ancient cultures for the kicking off of May, because May the 1st is their big day for kicking off the new their new year, really, fertility.
Yeah, we've got May 1st coming up, and side note, I guess, but the interesting that a lot of people also actually go to this spot, visiting the area. I think that the Queen is even of England is actually going over there sometime around May. I can't remember the exact date now, if it's around Beltane or something like that. I don't know, but she is going over there, and it seems like, you know, a lot of people want to go to that place, you know, as a kind of a ritualistic type event, or actually, you know, drawing from it in some way. I don't know. Any ideas about that?
Well, I've no doubt that they are into this type of ceremony. You see it so often. Even the United Nations building, the UN was set up to bring in world government. And it doesn't run autonomously. It's ordered to do what it does by the very rich men of the world. And the United Nations building was built on land donated by the Rockefeller family, and it was the largest slaughterhouse in New York. All that land had been for a long, long time, so it was well sacrificed with blood.
Yeah,
and that's where they built the building. So yeah, they do go into the sacrificial place type thing in a big way. It means a lot to them.
Yeah. Of course, we could, you know, go into the area of mind control. You know, this is as another Manchurian candidate, as it were. Do you think it's necessary, you know, to go that far? Or,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. There's no doubt. Every one of the shooters we've had over these years has, as I say, had psychiatric treatment, so they were well aware of the person's mental capacity. They were well aware that they loved to not play with guns, but literally to even pretend in front of cameras that they were shooting the cameraman. And who knows? And even the one in Montreal, it came out later that the police had been monitoring this particular fellow who went to the college campus, and they were well aware, because he had lots of these pictures on his own video screen, which he on his internet site, mm-hmm. that, of pointing guns at cameras. So they've been watching him for 4 or 5 years. They know who these people are.
Mm.
And now, if anybody else in society were to do that, they'd come in and just grab you.
Mm.
Why did they watch them for 4 or 5 years and then allow them to do it?
Mm.
And then what kind of treatment are they getting from the psychiatrist, knowing, remember, that psychiatry from its inception was always to be part, to be used to create the new society. Psychiatry said that they should be given the right to vet people to rule over others, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And which also means they help create the mayhem. Psychiatrists have been used in mind control by all governments
mm-hmm.
Through all the Cold War. The top psychiatrists were involved in the creation of forms of mind control technique. And I wouldn't be surprised if these characters have all been programmed by the psychiatrists.
Hmm.
The same thing happened with the Dunblane shooting in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
The man there, it's the oddest thing, because you had to jump through hoops to get a handgun.
Hmm.
It was a recent thing. They hadn't allowed the public to have handguns for centuries.
Yeah.
And you had to jump through many hoops, psychological tests, background checks. And they knew that Hamilton was a pedophile. He liked little boys.
Hmm.
His room, which they visited beforehand to see if he was stable enough to have a handgun, his room was covered with pictures of half-nude little boys from the Boy Scouts. And yet, it was a lord, a British lord, who overrode the police decision not to give him the license. And why would a British lord intervene on a nobody's account to give them a license? He was programmed, so he was seen as a psychiatrist. We know in the Columbine shootings, the Columbine in high masonry is a five-pointed star, or the leaf of the plant, the flower, Columbine.
So yeah.
The five-pointed star of masonry. It's also the meaning of being illumined when the spirit comes down to the high-degreed masters. It's shown in the shape of a dove coming down.
Yeah, yeah.
That's also the Columbine. It's the column. It's the bird.
The dove, yeah.
Spirit.
Yeah.
So you have all these things wrapped up in it. And in the Columbine shooting, 2 years after the event, they gradually released all the film footage that they had, that these boys had taken themselves, of going into the forest with all this expensive firearms that their parents knew about. That's the oddest thing.
Yeah.
And thousands of rounds of ammunition. The year prior to the shooting at Columbine, the teachers had given them lectures about death.
Hmm.
They all had to write essays on death. Then they had to follow it up by essays on what they would like. The Columbine data on the shooters came out 2 years at least after the initial shock and the media pablum they gave us. And they started to show us videos they'd taken themselves, these boys, of going off into the forest with expensive weaponry, thousands of rounds of ammunition, blasting at everything, every little target they could find, and laughing about what they'd like to do with their schoolmates.
Yeah.
And then the teachers gave them, a year prior to the shooting, they gave the class lectures in death, so much so that they even, I think, brought a coffin into the classroom and had each one lay in that coffin. And then it was followed up by, if they had power, if the children had power, what would they like to do with it? They were to make a video of what they'd like to do, and the shooters, 1 year prior to the actual shooting, went through the school, classroom by classroom, pretending to shoot down people. I mean, how much do we need here?
Yeah, yeah. Sheesh. Have you heard about this connection with also, you know, that many of these kids seem to be going on antidepressants as SSRI medicine?
Yeah, they find that they're all on Prozac, or one of the many branch offs of Prozac, because Prozac started to get a bad name for this.
Yeah.
And so they've altered the molecules a little bit here and there It's still Prozac, but they call it different names to confuse the public. But it can cause acute aggression and tremendous aggressive outbursts coming out of the blue with no apparent trigger.
Yeah, and emotion. I've heard of, you know, everything from emotional detachments to a sense of, you know, that you don't have any kind of connection with your own emotional life, meaning that you're totally, you know, disconnected from what you're doing, basically.
That's a fact. And also, these things interfere with your serotonin uptake in the brain. That the theory being that they can quieten down your emotions, however, it doesn't work quite that way. Because anything which is reduced in the system of the brain is always compensated eventually down the road. Other things will kick in and try and compensate. Hmm. And that's where the aggression suddenly comes in. Hmm. Other chemicals are formed to try and compensate for this reduction.
Hmm.
So it can be tremendously aggressive.
Indeed. So what we're potentially might be looking at here is as you say, a combination of, you know, actually many different things, you know, and one can't, of course, you know, take away the big aspect of that many of these kids, you know, actually are, you know, they are very, you know, depressed, and they live, you know, lives in a way, I guess, that might not be, you know, fulfilling in that sense. Many of the kids might be lost, you know, they don't know what they're going, and a lot of aggression, and life, you know, seems meaningless, as it were, and this in itself might be, you know, something that, you know, authority can manipulate in a way, I guess.
Oh, it's easily. I mean, the very fact they're in the state that they're in, with dysfunctional families which do not communicate.
Yeah.
That's part of the culture creation. They knew long ago that we'd have all these problems at this present time when the children have no anchors, they've nothing to fall back on, they've no real family to communicate to. And we found that in the Columbine families because they seemed almost detached themselves from their own children. They gave them lots of money and just let them do what they wanted to do and didn't inquire what they were up to. Didn't seem even interested in what they were up to.
So the kids have
dysfunctional.
Yeah, and the kids have become the, you know, domestic terrorists, as it were, now then.
Plus you've had for 25 years the children brought up playing video games of killing, death, and destruction.
Mm-hmm.
These games were developed for the military-industrial complex to train soldiers to be desensitized in killing their enemy.
Yeah.
And then they gave them to children because they wanted to rear a generation of aggressive and very compulsive killers for a certain period for the military, for the present New World Order, as Mr. Bush Sr. called it. They had to go from a passive population and breed an aggressive type that would join the military. Because they're looking at a long-term war in the Middle East, and they knew that 25, 30 years ago.
Yeah. You know, and there is, I think that there is a connection, an alleged connection between, or rather that the Virginia Tech, in this case, the university, or was it high school anyway, actually have a connection to DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, and they actually developed a video type game together with a Virginia Tech. I think this was back in 2001 or something. That talked about, you know, the enhancement of memory, if I remember correctly, and a lot of stuff. And that actually went in the video game itself. Actually went in and altered your, I think it was memory function or something like that. That would, you know, heighten your study ability or whatever. But there is a very interesting, you know, connection in regards to this latest, you know, Virginia Tech shooting. Obviously, you know.
Sure. Huh. I'm sure of it. There's been definite guidance from some source.
Yeah.
And also there's been ordered professionals, people professionally trained, who've been told not to stop this guy from doing what he was going to do. I'm sure there were plenty of signs before it happened. Plenty of signs. The police would know. They scour the internet. They've got thousands of people scouring the internet, and taking notes of anybody they claim could be violent down in the future. So this is no surprise to those who have been watching. The only surprise is to the public that it was allowed to occur.
Yeah, I'm just going to correct myself. I'm looking at it right now. It actually was NASA's Langley Research Center in Hampton, Virginia, that tested this together with something called Eastern Virginia Medical School. So it wasn't Virginia Tech in this case, but again, you know, just implying that there is a connection, as you say, actually, between, you know, video games and interaction with, you know, your mental health and a lot of these studies. So it's not any less interesting for that matter. But what if, you know, if we're to kind of expand this scenario a bit or look at the consequences of, you know, of these types of actions that took place at Virginia Tech? Obviously, we have the question of gun control, metal detectors going in at the school, guards everywhere, you know, heightened fear and so forth. What do you think will be the kind of the ongoing consequences, as it were, to this kind of event?
Well, I do know that in United U.S. publications, they've been pushing the big industries for security, which are just part of the military-industrial complex, have been pushing to go further with total monitoring of every individual. To get into these places generally in the United States, they're training children to go to school and go through metal detectors, thumbprints, identification cards, all of this stuff. They have armed security men there, police there, at all times. They're training these young children for the society they will grow up in as adults.
Yeah.
We will all go through the same thing, be monitored, thumbprinted, ID'd for everything that we do. This is the world that's being prepared right now, and they always go to the young to get them conditioned to accept it. They think it's normal now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
getting frisked going into school is normal.
It's amazing, you know. Exactly, metal detectors and guns. What about the issue of gun control? I mean, this has been on the wallpaper, so to speak, you know, for many years now, I guess. But this is even a way. This event will further that, I guess.
Yeah, each time that they get more bills and more restrictions. This is to be a worldwide agenda. It's happening all over the world, actually. Because they want a disarmed populace for what's to come down the road. And that makes sense when you read the Department of Defense for Britain. That's your war department in Britain, and I bought the Department of Defense. And they published in The Guardian last week, the Guardian newspaper, their projections of the think tanks that they own of all the trouble they see with society for the next 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
And they've got some high-tech weaponry they want to use. They know they're going to have to use it. What we should say now, what's going to happen in our cultures, our system, our economies, to make all of this rioting happen?
Yeah.
See, so they know something we don't know, and they're ready for it. They're openly publishing their plans.
Absolutely.
Right down to even using certain types of atomic warfare on segments of society. This is from the War Department of Britain.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I remember the release of this article now, and you know, as you say, official projections, you know, a few years ahead what have you. And I think it was, let's see here, you know, there were a number of things. Even I think it was DARPA again that went into, you know, they have been focusing these last years more and more towards what they call, you know, as urban warfare, basically, you know, in the cities and so forth, and making the population is the, you know, basically the last enemy of it were, because the global empire in a way is already in place. So now it's a matter of fact, you know, of eradicating or getting rid of a certain population, types of population, I guess.
Yeah, in the Guardian paper, that's what it said. They would use certain types of atomic weapons on certain ethnic groups within society. Quite openly about it. And we should be asking ourselves, what do they have planned?
Yeah.
We do know what they have planned because the big boys have published it for years in their books.
Sure, sure.
On the coming society, the upheavals that will be caused as we transform into the new global society, and how they're going to pack us all into the cities as habitat areas, and of all the crime there'll be because there'll be no work. And everything will be completely regulated.
Yeah.
And we'll be at their mercy for food, shelter, clothing, and everything.
Hmm.
Do you, that's what that they've told us this in their books. Yeah.
Do you think that the issue of gun control is? I mean, would it be possible, you know, for people to, you know, let's say that, you know, they do have access to guns or whatever. Do you think that is the way to go? You know, people, you know, lining up and you know, fighting a military force. Is it even possible? What's your idea about that?
As far as raising some sort of counter to this, you've got to realize they've been building up the internal armies, the multi-jurisdictional task forces, they call them.
Mm-hmm.
These are specially trained police who they can also use in the military and give them actual combat experience and bring back into the police forces. They've been creating an army inside the Americas for 25 years with this technique. And police are always expanding now. They're always looking for new reasons to bring in and recruit more policemen.
Yeah.
You have massive internal armies. And the police have two uniforms. They have their combat uniform, and they have the one you'll see them wearing in the streets. So they're being trained for something that's coming down the road. And obviously, from a planner's point of view, like a general at a coming battle, if you can disarm your enemy before anything starts, it makes your job much easier if it does.
Oh, yeah, indeed, absolutely. How are things in Canada? Is it more controlled, you know, in regards to the guns there?
Yeah, Canada was very peaceful that way for many, many years. And we have problems mainly in Toronto, in the north of Toronto, where it wasn't the people's fault. This was a creation of government. They brought in lots of immigrants from countries that have the highest murder per capita rate in the world, and that's Jamaica and Trinidad, all in one section of society. Create basically a welfare system for them, and now you have the gangs, and so these gangs every so often go on a rampage over territory for drugs, shoot somebody until it becomes bad, and then when they shoot a white person, then it's mayhem, and then the government's only too happy to pass laws on all Canadians across the country, and this has been the obvious method of choice for the Canadian government. Let it happen, and then using the Soviet system of communal punishment, you pass a law on every citizen and take the rights away.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
But as you say, I guess the best way to do it is to just, you know, avoid that type of, you know, conflict at all, if possible, if you can take
away. In fact, you couldn't win it anyway, even if there was such a thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
You couldn't win it because the... they have such high-tech weaponry, ready to use. They call it non-lethal, although it can be cranked up to become lethal. They can take out entire cities. It could put everybody to sleep. It could knock everyone out.
Sure, yeah, exactly. And,
I laugh, in fact, when I think about even the military using what really is an obsolete weapon, the firearm.
Yeah.
And it's to make the public think that's the best they have.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
So that you'll get the same.
Yeah.
But in reality, they're way so far beyond that with high pulse or laser, etc., and EMP. Even Jane magazine, the Jane's magazine for the military, which you can get, shows you all this weaponry that they can actually, a man with a little 2-foot-wide radar-type screen can wipe out a whole city if he wants to.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You have exactly a tremendous budget going into the, you know, the research of new weaponry and you won't even have to go black budget, so to speak, to actually, you know, pick up on this, and the amount of money that goes into this is tremendous. But again, as you say, we rarely see, you know, new technology being implemented in you know, Iraq and so forth. There are a few reports of you know, potential test weapons. I've heard a few about some kind of ray down there, you know, when things started. Very hard to confirm, obviously, but you never see it implemented. Why is that?
Because they don't want the public to know what they're going to do and what they have to do it with.
Mm.
If the public start rioting and go to traditional means to fight something, you probably wouldn't start rioting and go to attack anyone if you thought that you're using a catapult against EMP weaponry.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And pull it out at the right time.
Sheesh.
But in the Gulf War I, the first Gulf War,
mm.
it came out in the British newspapers because of all the thousands of stunned Iraqis who were just walking out the desert giving themselves up. They were really confused and stunned. It did come out in the British newspapers that the government admitted it had been using a HARP-type technology, electromagnetic pulse, and hitting them for 24 hours with it. It causes intense disorientation and confusion.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You have all this type of, you know, crowd control systems, the, what do they call it, the active denial system, I think, you know, that actually microwaves a few millimeters just, you know, inside your skin, making it the sensation that the water molecules in your skin actually boils.
Yeah.
Terrific. I mean, it's not terrific. It's terrorizing, you know, weapons, basically. The terror weapons, basically.
They're terror weapons. They also have stuff published, I remember, back in the 70s, where they had a white light type weapon, where one soldier could watch an advancing regiment coming towards them, and just like a little pen light, he could just sweep it across the field, and anyone looking directly at him was permanently blinded. Eyes completely destroyed.
Oh my. Huh. Yep, there you go. Yeah, exactly. They do have it, but as you say, they're waiting for it, for this. Yeah. This is about the implementation of something that is to come, you know, down the road when they actually might be bringing out a lot of this, you know, this weaponry and this stuff. What do you think they are waiting for? Why don't they, you know, take
what
over?
What they're waiting for is to implement every stage that they have planned.
Mm-hmm.
And have it already. These guys don't miss a trick because it's a military strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
And you play the game piece by piece on the chessboard until it's all in order for them to do the final job and pull it off. They don't miss a single part of their agenda. They do it by the book.
Mm.
And they must herd the public along quietly as long as they can before they start creating the big chaos.
Mm. Hmm. I know I've asked you this, you know, a number of times before, but you know, it's always interesting, you know, in regards to you know, timeline and stuff like that. I mean, many people, you know, speculate that just in the years ahead, we're actually going to see that the real when this actually starts to play out on a more, I guess, you know, physical, even you know, violent level. I guess any ideas about it? Do you get a timeline on that?
Yeah, in that article put out by the Ministry of Defense, remembering that Britain's military of defense is completely integrated with every European country's military of defense department.
Mm.
It's all the same.
Yeah.
They said that 2010 was to be a big kicking year, a big start to a lot of this, this agenda. And then 2012 was another one. Now, that fits exactly in with the integration of the Americas, which is to be completely done by 2010.
Hmm.
And by 2012, the United Nations is to be announced to be the now acting global government.
2010?
2012
to
the UN.
Oh, okay, yeah.
2010 for the amalgamation to be complete.
Mm, there we go. Yeah, exactly. Very, very interesting. Again, you know, keeps coming up to 2012, all of that. You know, I wanted to also ask you, because you mentioned the Gulf Wars and basically, you know, eradication of, you know, entire populations and so forth. Depleted uranium has been, you know, a hot topic too. You know, allegedly a lot of this is being used in the weaponry now down in Iraq. Have you, do you know if this is true, if I were to ask you that?
I'm on two minds of it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that they coat the artillery shells and some of the aircraft shells with this depleted uranium. It makes them incredibly hard, and they literally will melt through a tank.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they explode and turn to a powdered dust. There were exposés on the CBC, that the television in Canada, after the first Gulf War, interviewing troops who had been over there from the U.S., whose job it was to pick up all of the tanks that were disabled and pull them back in for repair or destruction or whatever.
Mm.
And all of these men, and they interviewed some of them, had their hair fell out.
Yeah.
Now these had been hit by these particular types of shells. So the white powder that was left behind was inside the tank and all around it and over it.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't think anything of it. They were handling them.
Mm-hmm.
Their teeth fell out. They definitely had all the symptoms of radiation poisoning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'd also know that another factor involved is interesting. We had even female troops from Canada in Gulf War One. There was an expose here on television about one of them. Her hair fell out. The same thing happened with her teeth. A chronic fatigue, white count, blood count went crazy.
Yeah.
She had all the symptoms again of radiation poisoning. We also know that some of the soldiers' offspring had the same symptoms that the soldiers developed, of these tremendous rashes all over their skin.
Yeah.
So a genetic thing had happened there, an alteration.
Yeah.
To get into the fetus, and there were even some of the men's wives were developing the same rashes and so on.
Huh.
But what another interesting thing to back or to put to make it even more confusing,
mm-hmm.
or else to give another line of thinking, some of the soldiers who were not inoculated to go over, or were inoculated to go over there but didn't go,
mm-hmm.
came down with a lot of these hypo or hyper immune system problems.
Mm.
So I think they're getting it from both angles. And it makes perfect sense, because American strategy after the Vietnam War, that they had Pentagon think tanks working on the problems of rioting ex-soldiers in the United States, who were trained in the military and had the expertise, and they were worried of something happening, and they came up with ideas of how to disable future soldiers.
Ah.
So they could work 3 or 4 years in the military. Once they got out, they'd start to go decline with their health.
Yeah.
And there wouldn't be a problem. So I think that's also part of it.
So they want a soldier for that short period of time that they actually can use them, and then, you know, as soon as they're into, you know, getting some kind of veterans, you know, pay or whatever, then obviously they're not interested in them anymore.
No more, and there's no threat to anyone because they become sick.
Oh my God! Yeah.
They could never use their expertise from the military within their own country. If they ever tried to, they couldn't even do it. So that also makes a strategic type of sense.
Yeah, indeed. And I mean, again, I can't understand it at this point. I mean, who actually wants to, you know, volunteer for the military in that sense? I mean, obviously, a lot of people's, you know, college payments are being done, you know, through the military and stuff like this. So obviously, at this point, is a way of income, I guess, for at least for American soldiers, as it were. But I mean, beyond that, I have no clue whatsoever. I guess it's again going back to some kind of patriotic feeling in these people that want to protect their country and do good or whatever. But I mean,
well, what you have is a science, because every military college knows this, the strategists know this. They know that if you want to bring in totalitarianism down the road, you must create a violent section of youth who are desensitized to violence. Well, that's what the video games were for. Number two, you do split up the generational interaction between grandmother, parent, and child.
Mm.
And so there's no communication. Every tyrant in history knows this is a necessary thing, because children and young people still want to belong. It's very strong when you're at school. You want to belong and fit in.
Yeah, indeed.
A peer group.
Yeah.
And so they give you a substitute family and a peer group, and give you a belonging that you've never even had at home anymore.
Absolutely.
Hitler knew this. Hitler knew this. Stalin knew it. They had the young communists in Russia. They had the Hitler Youth. It's the same technique. Now you've got this new phenomenon of I call it the bush youth, maybe.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly, and the psychology in some of these military advertisements that are out there are just, you know, they're really skilled at what they do. Let me just say that. I mean, I saw one commercial way back, and you saw, you know, just about how much time they've, you know, put down to actually get, you know, every single blink, and even, you know, the way they swallow when they, you know, ask. Let me explain first. This was the advertisement was basically between a father and a son sitting down, and the father telling the son, you know, how proud he was of him because he has, you know, joined the military and that he has become more like a man, you know, and that type of deal. So they obviously, you know, play very much, as you say, on this aspect of, you know, the family, of making your father proud or whatever, you know, and this, I mean. As you say, this is stuff that works because people have these drives and want to, of course, you know, do good and all of this, and that is what they play at, I guess.
Yeah, they do, especially when you have a system today where parents are so busy they don't interact with the children.
There you go. Yeah.
The children are starved for attention. Along comes the society, like all military societies have always used. You belong with us.
Yeah.
We are your new brothers. It's a fraternity.
Hmm.
You're special. They tell all the military of every country, you are special now. You're not a civilian.
Yeah.
So you have a class thing right away, a difference.
Yeah.
And then it's drilled into you that you are different, and these are your new brothers.
Yeah, yeah, indeed.
And that's what they crave. They crave belonging.
You know, I want to return a little bit again to this case of depleted uranium, because if it is true that they are letting that stuff out there, you know, down there, I should say, this obviously is something that spreads on a global level. They have been picking up, I know, reports from the British a facility somewhere that actually measures the. They have been picking up on the radiation levels around, even around Britain, and they speculated in an article about this that this was actually from you know, down in the Iraq region. This is total, you know, suicide, as it were. If this is you know, this could spread globally all over the place, and basically everything with you know, DNA could potentially become genetically altered, basically.
Yeah.
This is mass suicide. I mean, do you think that this is the end plan, the game of the game plan? Because I mean, my idea was kind of that, okay, they want to eradicate a few, you know, people in the population, or quite many of the population, and then live on this planet in luxury or whatever. But this is stuff that even would destroy themselves. What's going on there?
Yeah, that's why I'm a bit worried. Is this actually the depleted uranium? Or is it the inoculations they've been getting? You see, you can also inoculate people, which and chemicals too, and never mind certain viruses, can actually induce types of cancers.
Hmm.
And just as effectively.
Hmm.
That's an old thing used since World War II. They had the ability to do that within World War II.
Okay.
And I'm a bit wary if they're giving us a red herring with the depleted uranium exposure.
Mm.
Because, yeah, these people would never kill themselves off.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
But with inoculations, it's a beautiful way to get 2 or 3 years out of a soldier and then debilitate him until he's useless. He could never come back and fight on any side at all.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But again, I guess we could even return to you know, stuff that we've been talking about previously, I think, about the global diversity fund or trust, you know, that actually saves a lot of seeds now in the new facility up in Svalbard in Norway, to protect and preserve genetic diversity in seeds and stuff like this, and a number of the underground bases. There are, I mean, let's say this: there is a number of places to actually retreat to if actually something were to happen on the surface, as it were.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They always cover all the bases for themselves if anything should go wrong.
Mm.
And I know that one of the biggest organizations that are involved in this and have been, not only in plants, but all animals and humans and gene types, is the World Wildlife Fund.
Yeah.
There was a documentary shown here from a, they call it an arc. They have three arcs, they call them, worldwide. The one is in Louisiana. The documentary was on about a huge facility, modern facility, and a professor of genetics is in charge of it. She also teaches at the university there. And she said that within these cryogenics chambers, they have every gene type of every plant, insect, animal on the planet.
Yeah.
And over the years, they've experimented to such an extent, they can basically create test tube type baby animals, reinsert them in any kind of mother host, and have them born successfully. So this is old stuff she's talking about. And so she said we can repopulate anything with any part of the planet with any species we want when we want to.
Yeah,
it's been done successfully, and they have three of them worldwide in case they should lose one or two. There's always one somewhere else.
How about going into space for these guys? Is that a possibility, you think?
Oh, I'm sure every possibility to save themselves, because they have so many think tanks working on every possibility at all times to save themselves. And yeah, I'm sure they have craft themselves. They can take themselves somewhere else, and they've probably been already making the preparations and maybe even have the bases to go to.
There you go. That's fascinating stuff, and I actually hope to get into that a little bit more later in the subscriber section. We're gonna ask you about that and your take on all of, you know, that is a big area basically. But I mean, if we were to say like this, then we have these kinds of events now, the Virginia Tech to kind of begin or initiate these types of deals. Do you think that we will see more of this and more often now, or is this kind of enough just to, you know, implement what they have planned, so to speak?
If they can't implement all the latest high-tech security across the board, not only in the schools, colleges, but right through society, they'll keep doing it for as long as it takes. We'll have these things coming out all the time until it's done.
Yeah, there you go. And of course we have the copycat effect. I just wanted to relay this, get this by you, because there seems also to be the type of signals that this sends to young people in a way is, you know, do you want to get on TV? You know, go out and shoot someone basically. I mean, it's an incredible media hype around these events too. Even if, you know, many people of course can understand that this is not the right way to do it, but for a person who might be in a state of, as we talked about earlier, on SSRI, totally emotionally, you know, drained or whatever, this obviously is a method that helps along to bring about this, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. What's interesting too is to compare psychosis and psychotic episodes and people with what we're seeing here, which seems to be pre-planning and very meticulous planning at that. Psychotic people tend to be all over the board with their ideas and start something and stop and go off somewhere else. But to actually think this out in advance, we know that the Columbine people did. For instance, discussed it and planned it all.
Yeah.
And this will be the same, because he knew what he was going to do. He also knew how many rounds he was taking with him.
Yeah, exactly. The
symptoms of generally the sticky, divergent thinking of schizophrenia, for instance.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, very exactly, very, very... planning ahead, a good ability, even a bulletproof vest, I think, with all the extra clips in them.
Yes.
And there
practice to do that. That's what astounded some of those that survived.
Yeah.
He loaded and unloaded just like the movies, expertly. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. And someone speculated, can't remember who now, about the caliber of the different guns, that it actually is very, at least what I think it was, might have been Alex Jones, I don't know now, but talked about the caliber of the guns, and that it actually very hard, you know, or difficult to actually, you know, shoot someone, you know, with these types of guns. I think it was a 22 caliber or something like that. And you have to be really, really close, basically. And that's another strange aspect of all of this. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he had a 9mm and a 22.
Okay, yeah.
And the 22, although it's used by spies, the Mossad is famous for killing people with the 22.
Yeah.
You have to be almost at the back of the head to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not an instant kill, generally.
Oh my, yeah, there you go. So, exactly, there's a lot of, you know, things to kind of dissect in this, and a lot of people obviously have really dug into this already, and that's kind of a good thing with the internet that I saw, that a number of people, you know, as soon as this happened, were actually out there and picking up information, and a lot of people are very skilled now at kind of dissecting the event, as it were, and actually being able to pick up on this. So that's a very positive thing, I think, that many people are becoming more, more smart, I guess, at what actually...
There's a debate on television afterwards with the top newspaper people, the famous players, the famous faces on television, in a Canadian format here.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S. ones were there, of the biggest newspapers, who were complaining about the overdose of what they called amateurs who were digging up all these facts.
There you go.
And, of course, they were poo-pooing them. No, they don't know how to do it properly.
Sure.
Proper journalists, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And so they're rather ticked off because, yeah, a lot of people now have caught on to this.
Yeah.
They are investigating themselves and asking the right questions.
Indeed, absolutely. And that's what, you know, we encourage here, to actually, you know, do your own reading and get all, you know, as many different perspectives as possible, and make your own conclusions and try to see, you know, be open to all sides, as it were. That is what we are doing here every month with Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, and trying to, you know, cut through the matrix, as it were. But I think that on that positive note is a very good place to round things off for this segment, Alan. But as always, I want to leave the opportunity for potentially new listeners and those who aren't aware, you know, of you and your work, to mention your website and what you have up there for us.
Yes, I've got a bunch of websites, the Cutting Through the Matrix websites.com, net, org, and so on. And also the new European one, which is Alan Watt, sentientsentinel.eu, which is now going into transcribing in different languages my talks on the internet.
Mm. Oh, wonderful. Yeah, and you have a few books, of course, and a few DVDs up there too, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
Excellent.
And lots of free stuff for download.
Absolutely. Follow along in Alan's excellent blurbs that he got up there, audio or podcast or whatever you want to call it, basically. Excellent stuff. So do check that out, cuttingthroughthematrix.com. And Alan and I will continue now in the subscriber section to talk a little bit more about the moon, as I mentioned earlier, and going into hopefully a lot more in regards to space and space exploration. So for this segment, Alan, thank you very much for coming on, and we will take a little break.
It's a pleasure.
If you're interested in joining me and Alan in the subscriber section, simply click on subscribe from our front page at redicecreations.com. And from there, you'll be able to read much more about how you can sign up if you're interested in hearing much more. And at the same time, you'll support this radio show so we can continue with what we do here. Also, don't forget to check out our radio archive. It's all up there for you to consider and enjoy. Also, check out our forum, drop by, join in on the discussion about the radio show, about the news that we put up there, or just about anything that's on your mind. Thank you so much for tuning in to Red Ice Creations Radio. Also, thanks to Fredrik behind the controls. We will be back on Thursday with another show lined up for you. Until next time, take good care. This is Henrik Palmgren signing off.